views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Start the adventure. Live the dream. International living, exploring, investing, and retiring. Light on Living Abroad shines the spotlight on how life can be better with life abroad. We'll explore owning investment properties in emerging markets, how to manage those assets effectively to increase your wealth. You'll learn the important steps involved in buying, renting, and building overseas. With safety lifestyle lessons and guidance to where to enjoy the most beautiful scenic locations, you'll discover where your best international investment property is waiting for you. Light on Living Abroad takes you there. Welcome on board.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us again on this edition of Light on Living Abroad. I'm your host, Lisa Berry. And as we build on the series of great adventure, travel, and investing, we are happy to have with us again Dean Studebaker. He is the COO of Compass Group International, the number one real estate consulting firm in Costa Rica. He's a featured guest speaker throughout Latin America and Central America. Dean is based in Costa Rica and Thailand and is currently working with developers throughout Latin America and the Caribbean, specializing in working with developers, investors, and brokerages from the Latin America to Asia on projects from tax-free zones, hotel to high-density affordable housing. He's a regularly featured host for HGTV's House Hunters International, which is, of course, the number one real estate TV show for the HGTV network. And finally, he's currently working on the new TV show, and you can also catch it, Living on $1,000 a Month. Welcome, Dean.
That was a mouthful. Wow. I don't know how I have time to do anything.
And I cut that down. There was so much more that really needed to go in there. But because you are just such an amazing, you just love talking about Costa Rica from day one that I met you, and I'm sure that's really what you must talk about all the time. And I'm so glad that you share with people and help people to literally live, like wherever they are, just to pick up and say, yeah, moving down to Costa Rica, this is where my life is.
Exactly. Well, bienvenidos, that's welcome. I'm actually in Costa Rica right now. So I'm going to be broadcasting live, I guess, from my beautiful, the beautiful location I happen to be at right now up in Guanacaste. So, I have a rough job.
Well, thank you for joining us from all the way there. Oh, actually, that's actually a perfect question. So the number one thing I would think about, like if I just want to pick up and move, even though I want to move down to Costa Rica, clearly because I want to have a little bit less stress. I want to have calm and beauty, but I really still do want the internet. I want my cell phone. How can I mean, you're connected right now, but how reliable is that connection? How good are we with technology there?
Okay. One of the, and in some of our previous shows, I always come up with these different catchphrases that Costa Rica uses from a marketing standpoint. So let me just give you this one as well. Costa Rica is considered the Silicon Valley of Latin America. Many of the high-tech firms in Costa Rica make their home in high-tech firms out of the Silicon Valley make their Latin American operations based out of Costa Rica. So Costa Rica, by far, compared to any other Latin American country, has the most quote-unquote internet coverage than any other country. So from an internet standpoint, absolutely no problem. Cell phone service, cell phone, availability, again, absolutely no problem. I grew up in the Bay Area, and I go back there every now and then to visit family, and I always kind of joke. There are times I'm out in the general Silicon Valley area. I'm out in Palo Alto. I'm close to the Google, Facebook campuses and all that kind of stuff. And I can't get reception or Wi-Fi to work for nothing. And then I can be in the middle of the jungle in Costa Rica to the middle of the jungles of Vietnam. And I get great, great coverage and great service. So there's a kind of a misnomer that we North Americans just kind of assume that the rest of the world isn't technologically advanced. I am a strong proponent against that. that there are many places in the United States where are horrible Wi-Fi, horrible, you know, 3 and 4G service, and you can come to a coast country like Costa Rica and be absolutely, absolutely just fine. So.
Okay, that's really good to hear, because I just love it right now in my mind. Of course, I'm having fun pretending like, okay, I literally am going to go there. Okay, I now know that, yes, I've got internet, I've got my cell phone, I'm all connected. When I'm deciding to live there, to literally live there, first of all, should I be setting things up ahead of time of actually living there, or wait till like when I'm talking about setting things up, I'm talking about banking accounts, things like that. Should I be doing that from my original country, or should I wait till I get down there and then set things up?
No, you would set something up after you get down here. How a process would work is, you know, I always kind of recommend people come down and spend some time and look at the various areas and to make sure you know which area you want to be in. And let's just say the whole pre-look process is finished. So you've been down on vacation once or twice. You've narrowed down what part of the country you want to live in. Then you come to a real estate person, let's say such as myself, and you're ready to buy. And then at that point, you would go through a process of the first thing you're going to do is you're going to meet, let's say, with my attorney. My attorney is going to set you up with a Costa Rican corporation. With that Costa Rican corporation, you now have all the same rights as a Costa Rican citizen. That Costa Rican corporation gives you the same fundamental, basic, you know, rights as a Costa Rican citizen, from everything to, you know, from financial, you know, from financial law to real estate law to various the criminal law system, all of that stuff. Having that Costa Rican corporation gives you that. Once you have that, then that allows you to walk in. I walk you then into, you know, the bank X, whatever bank it is, and then that will allow you to open up your bank account. And then that Costa Rica corporation then allows you to go get all your utilities turned on, get your own local cell phone, and have a cell phone system underneath their system. If you want to join the Costa Rica Medicare system or the Costa Rica health insurance system, you can apply and do that as well with that Costa Rican corporation. So you are able to do that. So once you decide to buy, once you have that corporation, you're basically considered a citizen, and you can pretty much take advantage of all the services that the Costa Rican citizen would be able to do.
Okay, so that's super
cheap to do. Yeah,
I was going to ask you, when you're talking about medical, like what is the medical, like you can get your medical set up. Would you pay monthly, and what kind of fees would that roughly look like?
Yeah, you can pay monthly, and it just kind of depends. It's like no different in the sense in the United States, or even, you know, well, I know not Canada because your system, but
right.
In a sense, it's Costa Rica has a universal healthcare system, just, you know, just like Canada. I won't get into the, you know, whether that's a good or bad thing, but it also has its own private system as well. If you want to buy into the private system, it's very inexpensive. It just depends, again, what a 30-year-old will want is different from what a 70-year-old will want. But you can be looking at $100 a month up to maybe $500 a month for maximum coverage. I personally don't carry it because it's so inexpensive to get to get procedures done, that I just go to my Costa Rican doctor here and or dentist and literally just pay cash. Because we're talking to go get your teeth clean and worked on, blah, blah, blah. We're talking $30 to go to a doctor and get your annual checkup, your physical and all the basics. We're talking 60, 70 bucks. It may go up to 75 to 100 if something, you know, where they maybe need to do an x-ray or something like that. But it's so cheap that you just don't even. And then various basic medical procedures that can happen if you had to spend the night in the hospital, you know, for something, whether it was like you had to have your appendix taken out, or you broke something because you fell down, you broke your arm and you needed to go to the hospital and be taken care of, and they kept you overnight or something like that. We're talking probably anywhere from $800 to $2,000 or something like that. And, you know, in the United States, that would be a $10,000 visit, you know, instantly. So from a health standpoint, it's very cheap. And to be honest with you, there are, you know, Air Canada flies down here daily from multiple locations in Canada. And I can honestly tell you that Costa Rican healthcare and coming down here to the private system in Costa Rica is actually a big, big business out of Canada. Air Canada stays completely full with Canadian citizens not getting procedures done in their system, but coming down to Costa Rica to get their medical from surgeries, from heart surgery to a plastic surgery to a variety of other another thing. Costa Rica is very much known for heart surgery. It's also very known for hip replacements, knee replacements, things along those lines are very prominent in Costa Rica.
Well, I'm glad you actually brought that specific thing up, because here we are saying, say somebody relates to heart surgery. Okay, this sounds really major, or even hip surgery, you know, that's again. And so let's talk about how long can people stay? Are we talking, you know, are we immigrating? Is this immigration, or is this just coming down and just getting through? How long can some, we know in Bangkok we can go for 30 days, or we can extend it to 90, but what about Costa Rica?
In Costa Rica, you have 90 days. So when you come into Costa, and you don't need a visa, well, again, depends on where your passport's from, but U.S. and Canadians, you don't need a visa. You come down on your U.S. or your Canadian passport. So there's no visa involved, and your time is 90 days, and then you have to leave for 48 hours. If you come down for medical surgery, that would require you to stay longer than 90 days, you can get a waiver. Sometimes that happens with people that come down and get bypasses and things like that, and the doctor can get a waiver for you that would allow you to extend that time. If he says, you know, I just don't want you flying on an airplane for 6 months after you've had the surgery, type thing. So they can get, there's always exceptions that you can go down to the embassy and apply for if you have a legitimate reason. Sometimes it happens with kids, parents that have their kids in school, because a lot of parents who have homes down here that travel back and forth between their homes in the U.S. and Canada and Costa Rica, there are a lot of instances where the parents take their kids only have their kids in school 6 months out of the year in the United States and have their kids or half a year in the United States, and the other half of the year they finish out that school year in Costa Rica. And that's a whole other long conversation, but that technically can be done. The paperwork, the transition to do that is actually fairly seamless. And when you're doing that, you can get exceptions to the immigration rule on that if your kid's enrolled in a private school and et cetera, et cetera. So those types of things can be done. Exceptions to the rules are plausible or are doable with legitimate, you know, valid reasons like education reasons and or medical reasons.
I feel like my whole world would be open.
If you just go to the guy at the embassy and you say, bro, I need 30 more days to serve. I can't leave for another. I just can't, dude. He's going to say, dude, get the hell out of here and come back in 2 days.
Right.
So the excuse of there's a great wave going right now, or the surf is really good, is not a good excuse to get your visa.
Right. Yes. And the surfing is fabulous. I really feel like right now you're opening up, I hope, the eyes to so many people who think, wow, I could really do this. I could really change my life. Like, I don't like where I'm living, or I need something, just an adventure or investment opportunities. Like, so if right now, like, I'm seriously thinking, oh my gosh, I really could buy property down there. But okay, so you're making this seem like such a possibility, and I'm so grateful for all the listeners and myself even hearing this. Do we actually, can we buy property and then we own it? Like, we own the title and it's ours, and then we can do what we want with it, kind of thing? How does that happen?
Yes, in Costa Rica is a fee simple country. And again, for your listeners that maybe don't know what that means, fee simple is basically the same system we have in the United States, where you actually take title to the property. You own it, you have a deed to the property, and that's the fee simple system. That's what, for all the U.S. listeners, that's the system you work in. Canadians, you work in a similar system. So when you buy in Costa Rica, you will have, you know, you'll have title to your property, you'll have a deed to your property. Now, there are locations in the country where you do have concession. If you live right on the beach, you will have to take a concession out. If you live 150 meters, or if you build something within 150 meters from the end of the beach line, so just as an example, where the sand on any beach ends, if you go 150 meters, 300 yards, let's say, past that, any type of housing inside of that, you will be on a lease. You will have a 20, sometimes 40-year lease. You will not be able to have title to that. But Once you're out of the what's called the maritime zone, which is that 150 meter buffer zone, then everything's fee simple and you own title to the property.
Oh, okay. And are they doing that because Costa Rica is such a, they're protecting their land, they're protecting the beaches, they're doing that for really nice reasons?
Yeah, they try not to allow, part of that's designed so that the beach area never gets overrun. So like, there's many countries around the world in Latin America and in the Caribbean and Mexico and whatnot, where there's just an awful lot of construction and buildings like right on top of the sand, so to speak, just right there. This is Costa Rica's way of discouraging that and maintaining its natural beauty by having a concession law, which most people don't like to do. So it forces people to be back farther away from the beach because they're very uber sensitive of protecting their beaches and all for good reason.
Okay, so I love hearing that. That's actually, I just love it more and more here. So once somebody, if they were going to look for a property, I'd think, okay, you know what, I'm starting at ground zero. I would like to know about, you know, what are my real estate options? Where should I be starting? What are like the price ranges?
Right. Well, what you would do is, of course, you'd want to get a hold of you. Then you would be able to give them my phone number or my partner Will's number, and then we would help them.
Because we do want help.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, once they have an initial consultation with one of us, and we kind of have an idea, you know, what they're trying to do, then, you know, when they come down, they wanna get a tour. You know, all that stuff can be arranged. So all the basics. I tell people it's no different than if you were leaving California and moving to Arizona, or you were leaving New York and moving to Florida. You're going to go through that same process. You're going to fly down there. You're going to check out properties. Once you decide to move forward, again, it's a fairly simple process. And like I mentioned earlier, and then all depending on what you want and what part of the country you want to live in is going to dictate your price. I like to tell people that the average that they should be looking at for, let's say, a two-bedroom, two-bath, 800, 900 square foot property, you know, fairly close, within minutes from the beach to walk, with a view of the Pacific Ocean, you can get anywhere from 175,000, and I could get that same house in other parts of the country maybe for 400,000 because it's in a much more luxurious area or the amenities are designed. So it's hard for me sometimes to give general price descriptions because there's small, medium, large, extra large as far as what you want. You can have the, like I said, I can build you and get you a $10 million house in Costa Rica next to, you know, Tom Brady or Bill Gates who have homes here. Or if you want just a basic, you know, condo, no frills, but just something basic and nice, that can start at $150,000. So everything in between, and then, you know, from uber luxury to basic.
Now, you actually just brought up a point that I want to highlight here. You had said, I can get you something built from this to that. So are we looking at, are you able to, so when people contact you, are you able to talk to them and say, okay, we're doing a new build here, or are you reselling spaces that are already there? Because you work with developers.
Yeah, I try and discourage a lot of times people to come down, just buy land and then go out and they're just going to find their own architect or whatever and they're going to build a house. I generally discourage that because unless you actually are living here and you can monitor it, I don't recommend to do that. Just like I wouldn't recommend someone to do it in the United States. I'm not a big fan of buying out of state or out of prop, you know, whether it's out of state or out of country. Buying raw land and just building something from scratch. I'm not a big fan of that, whether it's in the US or in Costa Rica. I prefer to take people to developers rather than general resale, which your typical resale, just house by itself up on the hill kind of somewhere. I generally like to take people to developers for a whole host of reasons, because they generally have all kinds of amenities inside the development. They generally, you know, there's always kind of like 24-hour concierge services available there. There's always a security service there. There's always these, you know, just again, the amenities and all that stuff are just part of that. Whereas if you go and just buy a typical resale, you just may be just kind of, you know, it might be a beautiful house, but you're kind of on your own. You don't have a lot of developments. They have little, you know, they have gyms, they have pools, they have They have all this stuff inside their development. And there's always somebody there in case there's a problem. There's always somebody there to help. There's on-site property management. It's always, you know, it's all those types of things. So I generally try and direct people to go do a new build or buy a property, an existing property that's inside an actual master plan development built by a developer, rather than just kind of, you know, I get people sometimes that will call and say, you know, hey, Dean, I'd like to just find 5 acres somewhere out in the jungle, and I just want to slowly build, you know, a couple of houses on it. And I'll generally tell those people, you know, one, I'm not going to help you. And two, it's a really bad idea to do something like that. And I'll generally talk them out of it.
Right. Well, no, that's
what
you are looking at. And you know what, that is good that you're on and saying, okay, these are where you're going to encounter some problems. Like, you're just trying to help people not have such a headache. But so when somebody does think, I would really like to buy this, this is a house I wouldn't buy, and they know that they would like to rent it out or live in it themselves or flip it, what kind of market are we dealing with? Like, is this a place to make money, or is this a better place to rent and just?
It depends. You don't come down to Costa Rica and flip homes. It's not set up like that. But Costa Rica is an extremely profitable country if you want to become what I call the Airbnb investor, someone who wants to come down here and buy their property in the right location. Now, again, this is why people need to talk to me before they go and do stuff, before they even talk to the majority of other real estate professionals down there, because they don't understand these types of things. If someone wants, and most of the time, honestly, Lisa, homeowners don't even understand what they're trying to do. And that's why it takes someone to ask them the right questions to find out, because, you know, if you ask somebody, what is your goal here? I mean, is this your primary house? Yes. Okay, so that means you're never going to allow anybody, you're never going to rent it out when you're not here. Well, no, I wouldn't mind renting it out once in a while. Then that's not your primary house. You have to determine if you're committed to renting your house and only being there a certain amount of months out of the year or a certain amount of weeks out of the year, you're not a primary resident. This is your rental property, okay? And so that tells me I want you to buy in this area rather than that area. And then I'll have people come and say, hey, we really like this beach down in this part of the country. It's perfect for us. We want to buy here, and then we want to rent it out. And then I'll look at them and go, that's a stupid idea. Why? Because nobody goes down there. That's a beautiful location. It's mainly designed for the locals. It's pristine. It hasn't been found yet. So that's a great place for you to go for your primary resident, but it's not near anything. There's no stores. There's no hospitals or anything. I mean, it's where you want to be. I get it, but it's not a rental opportunity. So you need to determine if you're trying to make money down there, which, again, Airbnb investors are making a hell of a lot more money down here on rental properties than what's going on in the United States. It's not even close. If you're in the right beach city, because Costa Rica is one of the top destinations in the world. The tourism here is outstanding, and they have a huge lack of hotel rooms here. So if you have the right condo or the right house in the right location, you can be occupied good 50-60% of the year. You can make a lot of money. But there's a distinct difference as to where I'm going to tell you to buy once I have my questions answered and determine once and for all what they're really looking to do. If they want to live there permanently, then fine. We'll get you out of certain beach cities because that's just tourism central. Let's go find you someplace quiet. If you want to invest and make money, then you need to put your house in this location. So that's
Dean, how long have you been there? How many years have you been living, visiting, investing, working?
I've been in Costa Rica since 2004 is when we started our company in 2004. So 13 years now.
And so that's a considerable, like, over a decade. So now you can, like, you are the guy then to go and ask, like, okay, this is where I want to go, so I want to be. Now, I want to ask you, because I want to hear a bit more of your personal story so people know why they trust you. And that's, so did you start off right away buying, and do you rent, or are you an investor? Are you an Airbnb investor? What is it you do with your investments there?
Well, what we do is, I mean, we're the typical kind of folklore story that you hear about. My partner and I, we both were in corporate America, him with Wells Fargo, me with a large global developer called KB Home. We came down to Costa Rica, let's just go down and surf, blah, 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 blah. We got down here, we're the typical screw our corporate job, our 9-to-5, blah, blah, blah. We're going to open our own real estate shop here. So literally on our first trip, we saw office space at the beach we wanted to be at. We bought the office and we went and bought our house in the capital city of San Jose, which was about an hour from the beach city. So just in one, or just our first weekend down there, we dropped everything, bought everything, and then we went back to our jobs and basically said, you know, vaya con Dios. And then we never looked back, right? And then subsequently, we've expanded to almost the entire world for our services, from Asia to Europe to the Americas. And then, like I said, and we had different properties in different parts of the world, in different cities, different countries. And so that's how we operate. Yeah. I mean, we work in over 50 countries around the world. I can honestly say I don't have properties in all 50 countries that I work in. But we have a handful of properties in some of our core countries, which are like Costa Rica and Thailand. We have our core properties there, and that's how we do it. And most of the brokers, all the top brokerages and real estate people that came down here in the early 2000s, kind of like everybody did. There's maybe a handful of us. I wouldn't even say you could count as many of us are still around that started. Mm-hmm. There's maybe three or four other groups. And they're really just brokerages where they just do the typical brokerage stuff. We're the only company that's expanded into more of the consulting services and maneuvered ourselves out of the country. Why everybody, all those other brokerages that were down here when we all started and were competing with each other, they're still going very strong and they're still active brokerages in their community. But we changed course when the global market crashed back in 2008. I was in the country at the time when we got the phone call that whole thing was happening. I was with a very prominent client getting ready, doing a very prominent global brand name hotel down here. Then we got the phone call that, you know, Lehman Brothers was crashing and next thing you know, everything kind of stood still and everything stopped. And then we evolved ourselves into more of a consulting firm. And subsequently, you know, we've been able to expand, like I said, throughout the world. But we're still going strong here with a handful of other guys and girls that started. We're the core group that started down here in the early 2000s, and a handful of us are here. Why 95% of the others have left? Because they didn't.
I'm so glad that you actually did open up that consulting, because as we wrap up here, just anybody thinking of you know what? It sounds like it's wonderful and safe and amazing opportunities, but I love that there is somebody like you who offers that consulting. Say when you do come down, that you look around. There's lots to question and lots to go through, but it just sounds like such a beautiful place. And I know that we're going to have a couple more shows coming up that we're going to have you on as a guest. And we haven't even talked about food, which of course you got to know about food. Now we can't do it this show, but that's why I want to invite everybody to tune in to the next time we have Dean talking about the lovely Costa Rica and the food and everything that's just such an available opportunity for whether you're retiring, you want to become an investor, or you just want to get the heck of where you are and just enjoy a beautiful theme. And in this last little minute that we have, Dean, if you want to say any last words about it before we get together on the next show.
No, just simply again, thank you for the call, for the chat, for the dialogue. And again, yes, we take our job very seriously. We're very good at what we do. I have an amazing team, you know, my power team, so to speak. Everything from, you know, when you come to Costa Rica, you get my whole team. From my lawyer to my architect to my engineer to my contractor to, you know, all of it. You work with me or my partner Will. You get my whole team, and all of our connections become your connections, so to speak. So that's how we operate. There's amazing opportunities down here. I tell people though, when you come down here, be prepared that you may not want to leave. And I have one of my catchphrases always is, you know, Margaritaville is anywhere you want it to be, whenever you want it to be. And a lot of people come to Costa Rica and they are just like, they have the same mentality that we did. Screw this. Let's figure out a way to go home, sell our house, and come back down here or whatever, or tell my boss to shove it. And I'm going to come down here and work.
Thank you for
provide great opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your fun attitude about it. You're certainly in the right place, and I can't wait to have you on the next show. Okay, thanks so much, Dean.
You're welcome. Thank you, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Bye.